My name's Greg Vandy. In the Roadhouse, very pleased to welcome Margot Silker to KEXP.
It's a great welcome.
It takes two to tie up a line, only sometimes you can get a good fire to burn through the night if the wind's right. I've been looking at the answers, trying to find the in-between. I've been watching it all from this porch unravel.
Thank you.
Margo Silker, KEXP, in studio. Great to have you.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. It's so great to play in here and look at my band and see everybody. And it's fun to play in a circle with the full band. This one's called Tehachapi.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Wasn't much of a warning. He disappeared one morning. Put his mattress up on the back of a pickup truck.
This one's called With the Middle. Thank you.
KEXP, my name's Greg Vandy, host of the Roadhouse Show, and it's great to have Margo Silker and band in studio. Margo, yes. Finally we're here together.
We've made it.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for having us. It's a dream of ours. So
it sounds great in this room.
It does. It sounds great. It's sparkly.
Yeah. And that piano sounds really, really nice. That's Jenny Connolly on piano, Jeremy Ferreira on guitar, Rebecca Young on bass, and Sarah Cahoon back there on drums.
Your old friend.
Yeah, me and Sarah go way back. So, Margo, congratulations. You're ascending. I think everyone can tell. And this is your second album, Valley of Heart's Delight. It's on Fluff and Gravy Records, and it's on a lot of top 10 lists of the year this year. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's great to wrap it up this way, you know, and it's just a treat to all play together.
Yeah, and this is your studio band.
It's a mix, yeah.
Yeah, you often have a road band for people who can get out, and then you have the band you made the record with here locally, and a lot of local people in the room.
Yes, well, Jeremy is, he's one of the road dogs, so he's he's been out on the road with me. I don't know how many dates we did this year, but it felt like a lot, and we covered some ground for sure.
Yeah.
And but yes, it is kind of a great mashup of the studio players like Reb and Sarah and Jenny all coming together. Mm. So
yeah. And the record before this one was equally great, but not everyone knew who you were then, right? It was Poho Real.
Yeah.
Was the name of the album, 2021, also one of my top 10 records of that year as well. And I feel like the growth, just your audience between the first record and the second record has been significant. I think people are beginning to, you know, catch on.
It is.
Does it feel that way to you?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly feels that way. But when I think about, like, the growth, I guess, there's something that's sweet to see is just the people that come back to my shows again and again, you know, and it's fun to have new music to put out for some of those dedicated fans, you know, they're the ones that are there every time I play. And that's really sweet to see that, because it's kind of proof that what you're doing is working. And, you know, just those small connections and changing one person's life is more important than, like, entertaining a million people.
Yeah.
So
I guess we should go over those songs. That last one was called With the Middle. It's on the latest record. And the Tehachapi was kind of the hit song off of Poho Real. And then Lowland Trail, which I think was the first single on this new record,
yeah,
Valley of
Heart's
Delight.
Yeah, the lead single. It's kind of lead everybody up the hill.
It's a good one. And then Beggar for Your Love was the first song also off of the new album.
Yeah.
And it says a lot that the new album is so good. Like, I could have put three more songs on it that I love from this new album on there.
Oh, thanks, Greg.
Yeah, been playing it a lot. And I guess we should mention that Sarah Cahoon, your drummer, is also the producer of the first two records. And I really want to talk about, you know, how Sarah came into your life as producer and as a friend, and how that all go down. How'd you pick Sarah Cahoon?
You know,
there's a story there. I know there's a story there.
I mean, I just kind of stumbled, honestly, like, I knew who she was in the back of my mind, but I wasn't living in the Northwest, and I don't know. I'd never met her or seen her at a show or anything, but I just found a YouTube video of her performing, and it was actually, like, I think, were you on the Space Needle?
Maybe.
It's like you're playing electric guitar and singing Up to Me.
Oh, I was here, and when you opened up the new gathering space, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. That's when I was playing. That's the only time I've done that. And I was like, why did I play electric guitar? That was hard.
Well, it worked on me. Cause,
okay, good.
I don't know. I really, her spirit really comes through her music. And then, like, that was one thing I really was drawn to, was just how her personality comes through her work. And then also just hearing her arrangements, you know, is like, man, I love the drums on this record. And then, you know, come to find out she played drums on her record. So at that point, it was like a no-brainer.
Yeah, so. And we had a mutual friend, Bart, and he was like, hey, I think this person wants you to produce them. And I was like, okay. We first had a conversation on the phone, and I was like, she's hilarious. She's like my little sister or something. And we just, like, connected. So that's a big thing.
Yeah, over the phone.
And then, like, her music, I just instantly got it, you know, like the way she plays, like her voice. I was like, let's do this. And then, you know, I found Rebecca to help me kind of figure out the rhythm, because she wanted me to play bass too, or drums. So it's just the sweetest story. Like, I just feel like I've known Margo my whole life, and it's just really sweet.
Yeah, you mentioned Bart Budwig, because I was going to go to him, because I believe at the time before, you know, back in 2020, you were living in Enterprise, Oregon.
I was, yeah.
And Bart has a little thing going on there, a studio and recording at the OK Hotel, or what the OK Theater is.
The OK Theater,
the OK Theater.
Yeah.
And he's been recording there so much, and there's so many people going to Bart in Enterprise. And so I'm curious as to why you just didn't stay in Enterprise with Bart and do that with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's very simple to that end. I mean, Enterprise is also like a destination recording studio. Like, the OK is a destination, and if you're living in Enterprise, it's not a destination anymore. So I wanted to go to the big city, you know? So we went to Vancouver.
Yeah. So is that where you recorded the... I was going to ask where you did record the records, here?
In Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, at Bocce.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And John Morgan Askew is our engineer, and he mixed the records. Yeah.
Nice. They sound great. Really good.
Thank you. And Jenny, of course. I just have to say,
yeah, Jenny.
I mean, bringing Jenny in for the studio, like her piano parts, organ, accordion. I mean,
all of it.
I don't know. It's such a treat to play with her.
People may know Jenny from the band Decemberists, I believe.
Yeah.
It's true.
Did you have a Baldwin piano in the studio?
It's a Yamaha upright, but the upright, I think, sounds good on the record because it has a little bit more honky-tonk sound.
Yeah, I do like that sound. Yeah.
Margo,
let's talk about lifestyle and your whole thing. It's so interesting to me. I was reading a bunch about you, and we've known each other for quite a bit, but you know, you've kind of moved around a lot, and you're currently in Goldendale, Washington.
I am, yeah.
That was, I think, after you were living in Enterprise, Oregon. These places are rural places, and you've married Forrest, who, you know, I'm a big fan, and you guys have this thing where you have a lifestyle that has music in it, right? Like, you guys have a sort of a, would you call it a farm lifestyle? I know Forrest is a official freelance cowboy, right?
Yeah.
And you live on a sheep farm.
We live on a sheep ranch right now, which is great. And we have someone watching our animals while we're gone. And when I get home, I'm going to go home today, and then I'll tap in and, like, feed her animals because she's going to be coming to the city to get off the ranch for a while. So, I mean, that's a really nice symbiosis that happens. And there's a lot of that, of just helping your neighbor. But, yeah, I'm not really – I did travel around a lot before I decided to settle down. You know, I really was itinerant, and I'd go home to my parents' house in the Bay Area and kind of regroup and – you know, and then I'd leave again for 3 months and live out of my van. And I mean, I was Montana, South Carolina, just kind of bopping all around and just kind of chasing the muse, you know.
Right. And I wanted to get into that. You've been kind of to a lot of places. You grew up in Santa Clara, Silicon Valley sort of area. You started really young playing music and trying to, you know, sort of perform in that environment. But then you said, enough of this place. I want to go somewhere far away, right?
Yeah.
And you went to Spain.
I did. I ended up going to Spain, and I was so excited. Well, I ended up in the Basque Country, which is kind of off the beaten trail. Off the beaten track or whatever. Is yonder. I mean, I didn't know that what I would find, but by the time, so I moved to Bilbao, and within 3 weeks, I joined a neighborhood band, and they were playing like Creedence Clearwater Revival songs and Neil Young, Bob Dylan. It was just such an easy, you know, I was like, I know these songs, I know the chords, you know, and so they let me join their band, and then I joined another band, and then I joined another band, and the venues I was playing went from like corner cafes, and then we were playing like venues, and then something really special was the Lucinda Williams tribute band that I joined called the Drunken Angels. and that was like so formative. And that was like my first big gig was this, like, I think it's probably a 300 cap room or something in Bilbao, you know, and we were rehearsing for months beforehand, and the whole repertoire you have to learn, you know, you're learning someone else's songs and you can't really invent the lyrics when it's, when you're paying tribute to someone. So, yeah, it was lots of practice, and I just learned so much, like, playing with these bands, because these guys over there, they're so sweet. They're all dads, and it was just, like, a really sweet band to play in, and I just learned a lot. I learned so much.
And Bilbao Precipitation was like the first song I ever heard you do. It's just kind of before these albums, you had the song out there. And I think the thing was like, wow, that voice, that person has a voice, you know, in that song. Mm-hmm. And I imagine you wrote that song there.
I sure did.
Or did you write it when you came back thinking about that place?
No, that one came from like sitting in a rainy little room in Bilbao. And I remember in those days, like, I was teaching English lessons, teaching guitar lessons, and I was so fortunate to be able to do that, you know, just spend, I think it was like 9 months I was over there. After I'd spent 9 months there before, like, studying, I moved back and was just kind of gigging, you know? And I just had this little apartment, and I would watch, like, Neil Young Unplugged on YouTube, that beautiful video session. Yeah. And like, so like every time I hear the song Unknown Legend, it just like kills me, the nostalgia of like being in this little tiny apartment room and just being so in love with music and so just obsessed, you know, in this way that like young, in the way that like only a hungry young artist can really feel sometimes. And I don't know, actually, I shouldn't say that. But for me, that was my experience. Like that fire, it hasn't died, but it's kind of changed routes, you know, a little bit. Just that intensity, you know? And I mean, anyone, you know, Jeremy's been there through the years of touring and everything. And Forrest, too, as a songwriter, he understands that. Just the intensity.
Mm-hmm. And you were there in Spain because it was a foreign study situation, because you were enrolled at Clemson, which I didn't know, and that really surprised me how you got to South Carolina, but you were enrolled there to go to school, and you were, I think, an anthropology student or major of some sort.
I was, just like Lucinda, I studied cultural anthropology.
And then you came back from Spain, and it was like, it wasn't like the same. It wasn't like sort of playing out and getting together with people and getting gigs wasn't the same as Spain at all. And
there was a lot less corner bars.
Yeah. But you wrote a song recently called I Remember Caroline, which is on the new album.
Oh yeah.
And I would imagine that's about the days in Clemson, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And those, like, I definitely, moving out there, you know, I was like following the work of Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings and Old Crow Medicine Show. Jason Isbell at the time was like in the Southeast, you know, and it was kind of a heyday for that kind of music. And I was very drawn to that. And then, like, I'd go to these, like, just down the road from Clemson's campus, there'd be these, like, bluegrass barbecue joints where you just roll in and there's bluegrass bands and you get your meat in three. And then there's just, like, a big vat of berry cobbler and it's a total free-for-all. And it's, like, I don't know, like, it's, imagine, like, everybody wants, like, the inner... Well, you know, you've got like the inner cobbler, and then you like some people want the outer edge. That's more like.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
I want the outer edge.
not a cobbler.
Like the crunchy part. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So your songwriting is really great. I think that's one of the things that I hear most from fans and from people I know. It's like, you know, not only is it the voice and the band and sort of, I guess, the organic, natural feel of the music, but the songs are great.
Well, thanks.
And I think what everyone wants to know is, like, how do you write a song? Where do these songs come from? A lot of them are personal.
Yeah, they come from a very... Well, I write a lot of songs. You know, I need solitude, and I need to really go to kind of a place in my mind where I actually don't know what'll come out, or I don't know what voice I'm trying to use. But something that I'm learning as I get older is just like trusting that, and there's time to write songs and there's time to tell stories. I remember like reading about Lucinda Williams and the song Pineola, which is like a song about suicide. And she's like, it took me 40 years to write that song. And like just sitting with something like that, and you just say like, you can take the time to like let songs breathe. And it's like when you go down into the well, you don't know what's coming up. That's kind of what I'm getting at. And I feel a lot more free, especially this year. I just feel really supported by my band and by the opportunities I have to kind of keep working at that and staying true to the craft and really being present. And I think your subconscious knows what songs should be sung more than your brain would know. Like your, or I don't know, like your, maybe the heart knows better than the brain what songs will be magic and what songs will help others and what songs, like it's that, it's kind of this deeper wisdom than surface level, you know? Mm-hmm. That's at least how I approach it. And then maybe I use the format that I borrow from country music where you have like a rhyme scheme and it's metered. And I do love that. I love a metered, like the way I love poetry that rhymes. I like bringing that into song because it's just like, it gets the job done, you know, there's like a start and a finish and you fit the puzzle pieces together. But yeah, I try to let my heart do all the talking.
I'm glad you brought up literature because one article that I did read about you that I love was the Justin Taylor piece that was in Oxford American, which is like my favorite magazine.
Oh, and, yeah, it's a great
and
magazine.
He mentioned you love literature, you love to read, and he mentioned about reading a lot of these writers of the American West, right, and how that possibly might come into play with your songwriting, how that can maybe inspire you.
Yeah, I do love reading, and I'm just getting started like learning. You know, I've been pulling on a thread, and that thread has that's kind of how my, like how the Valley of Heart's Delight kind of came together. And I'm just uncovering a lot of information, and it's one thing to like being from the West. There's like, you can take in the landscape and immediately have these overwhelming feelings of wonder. And, you know, you go stand in the redwood forest and it's just like, holy cow. But then there's like the ways that humans have interrupted the inherent like goodness of like the land and people who lived there before, indigenous peoples. Like there's so much to learn about your place in the world. And when you start pulling that thread, you have to rebuild around that, you know, that understanding.
Or like where you come from. It's really changed where you're from.
Oh, yeah.
From Santa Clara area of California.
Yeah, and like, yes, exactly. And there's a book I'm reading right now about the history of California, and it just talks about how the European immigrants, it was like, it just, like the building up of California, it just careened from extremes, you know? It was just like the gold, and then it was this and that, and that, like, it's like boom or bust. And that is how I feel about Silicon Valley as well. And like other parts of the California economy. Mm-hmm. And it's a, you know, California's economy is like a behemoth. So I don't know. I don't know. It's funny. I don't know. I just have a lot of, you know, you don't get to learn about a place when you're in it. You don't learn the same way as when you leave and get that perspective. So once I kind of got hip to that, like, leaving and seeing it from the outside, that really helped me. And also, like, I grew up religious. I grew up with certain worldviews that it really helps to step away and kind of see it from another angle.
One of the things I love about your sound and where the songs are coming from and where you come from is also looking at the visuals of the albums and the photo shoots you've had promoting these last two albums. I'm not sure. I should have researched who the photographers are, but the one for Pojo Rio, where it's like an old wooden grandstand at a horse racetrack is what it looks like.
That one, yeah.
And those are just so beautiful looking. They really captures what you are and what the sound of the record is. And then the latest one for Valley of Heart's Delight seems to be like on top of the Columbia Gorge. I think I've maybe been in those areas before.
So yeah, that one is on the album cover of Valley of Heart's Delight. You can look down and see the John Day Dam. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so that's like the Columbia Hills up there, and it's taken from this road. Like you access up there through like a power line, like the wind turbines. They have like the service road that goes along that ridge there. Mm-hmm. And the rancher that Forrest works for sometimes, and that I like, I'm friends with the rancher, Diamond D, and we'll like his bulls are just out running out under the wind turbines. You know, that's where they live during the winter. And so it's, I love that too, kind of that just imagery of like, just like combined worlds, you know, mm-hmm. It's just interesting, the like turbine, and then there'll be people working on them, and they're like belaying down from this wind turbine, and then there's just the bulls running around.
Yes. Well, they're very beautiful pictures. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, Jen Borst is my photographer, okay. And she lives in Yakima. Yeah. She's from there.
Great.
And
Great. So
she's got an eye for like that, for the rural Northwest, for sure.
Yeah.
She's always showing me like back roads of that, of her. Her area, like up near Yakima.
Yeah. The eastern half of our states, Washington and Oregon, are beautiful. And I feel like not many people know how beautiful it is, or they don't venture much across to get to the other side.
Well, Jenny spends a lot of time in Fossil.
Yes, that's where my family's from.
Ah, cool.
You probably don't know where it is.
I do not, yeah.
It's in the middle of eastern Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we could talk for hours. I feel like we kind of should all move to the other room and sit down and on some couches and just discuss this. It seems much more natural than this. But it was, you know, I'm a big fan, and I think you got everything going for you. You're a real natural performer, songwriter, and people love you when they see you on stage. And I think there's going to be a lot of good things ahead for you and the band.
Well, I work with the right people.
Yeah.
You're the best, Margo.
Well, Margo Silker, thank you so much for coming in to KXP today, and we'll see you down the road.
Thanks, Greg. It's our pleasure.
My name's Greg Vandy. This is KEXP.